I already introduced myself, so we'll forego that. We ready with the podcast? Ready to go? Cool. All right. Talking about listening. Last week we opened up, we have a three-part series about listening, and this is the middle of the series. And just to break it down, some of y'all who are new, we started out a Celebrate Recovery, which was a very structured recovery program, mostly geared to addicts and alcoholics. And over the years, it just kind of morphed into something a little bit different. And then we became Pathway, and we're a little less of a recovery ministry. Still, we deal with that, but we're more of a healing ministry now. It's just a place where you come and feel find healing for your human hurts, whatever the human hurts may be, or human struggles. And so it's more of a healing ministry now. And so one of the things that we do to find healing and to share healing is to simply love the person in front of us. And that sounds so sanctimonious and sounds so angelic and so righteous until you think, well, what does that look like? How do you do that? How do you practically carry out such a nice sounding statement? Love the person in front of you. How do you do that? And so one of the things that we're talking about in this series is you listen. You become completely aware of that person. You see them, you hear them, and you because you're invested in them. During the conversation, they are your world. They are your universe. They are everything. You are completely zoned in on them. They are not part of your agenda. They are not part of some project you've got going on that you're going to use them later to do this or that or the other. You are simply honed in on them. Period. Big, huge period at the end of that sentence. And so, listening, you could call it awareness, you could call it seeing, you could call it lots of different things, but mostly in a conversation we use words, and so words are spoken and ears hear those words, so we call it listening. So, last week we kind of went, and if you weren't here and you want to know what last week was, it was podcasted, it's on the Broadway website. You can go and listen to it. I'm not sure what they entitled it, but it's there. Should be, anyway. And so that's the first one. And the first in this series was, why do we struggle with listening? Because when I first got into recovery, back when it was CR, I realized right off, 2 or 3 weeks in, that one of my primary issues was that I sucked as a listener. I was a terrible listener. And so I didn't know what to do about that. What's really cool about the small group, the step studies, is you have to listen. Y'all know what a 12-step, some of y'all don't know what a 12-step group is like. The person who is talking is the only one allowed to talk. Nobody else is allowed to talk. So they have 3 to 5 minutes to share their thoughts and feelings, and then the next person shares, they don't respond to what that person said, they share their thoughts and feelings, and you go around the room, and that's how you do a 12-step group. And when I first got in there, I thought, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Nobody's helping anybody. Nobody's giving any advice. Nobody's supporting anybody. But then I realized the magic that happens when people actually feel free to speak. Nobody's going to interrupt me. Nobody's going to try to fix me. I can actually say what's on my heart, and then the room will go quiet, and then it's the next person's turn. There's a magic that happens in that. And that's partially how I learned to listen. I was forced to. If I had talked, I would have broken the rules. And they would have called me on the carpet and asked me to leave. No, it's not that bad. Not that bad. But I would have broken the rules. I would have broken the guidelines of step group guidelines or whatever. So I kind of learned how to listen. But if you're like me, you know, let's get honest. A lot of times we suck at listening. We're not good at listening. And so last week we talked about what are the obstacles that we face in listening. So this week is kind of, we kind of went into the valley of what we're not good at. And now we're going to try to climb out of the valley a little bit and talk about, well, the first thing we need to do is decide what we're listening for. When you go into a conversation, decide what you're listening for. If you go into the conversation with certain things in mind, like, well, they're a Democrat and I'm a Republican, or I'm a Democrat and they're a Republican or whatever. So I know that what I'm going into this for is I want to persuade them politically. or they're a Baptist and I'm a Methodist. I want to do this, or they're a, you know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? They like Chevys and I like Fords. Whatever the deal is, I've got this agenda in mind. There's not going to be good communication, period. Just forget it. It's not going to happen. If you go into it thinking, I'm going to convince them, I'm going to fix them, I'm going to correct them, I'm going to tweak them, ain't going to happen. Not going to have a good conversation. So let's just throw that one out the window. So we have to decide, what am I listening for? Because what I really want to do is make that person know that I value them, I respect them, I love them, and I really want to know who they are. I want to really know where they're coming from. That's how I'm going to love on them. So the first thing is just simply to gather information. If you're meeting somebody out of the cold, where are you from? Are you married or not? Do you have kids? Where do you work? Where'd you grow up? Did you have any pets when you were growing up? You know? Do you like your job? Do you like the people you work with? You just ask general informational questions. Just to get, you know, you need some general information to get the conversation started. So that's a natural human thing to start at that point. Doesn't that just make sense? I mean, everybody's saying, well, duh, tell us something we don't know. But a lot of times I'll get bumfuzzled when I get in a situation. We went to a funeral home with Wayne and Melinda yesterday, people everywhere. And I only knew one or two people in the funeral home. It was in a town I'd never been in before. And so you know how funeral homes are. People just shoulder to shoulder, all crowded around. And for a second, I felt like, I don't know what to do here. I don't know what to, because crowds kind of bother me, strange crowds. This crowd doesn't bother me, but strange crowds kind of bothered me. And I thought, what do you do here? So the first thing I did is I found somebody face to face, and I thought, shoot, I don't know this person. What am I going to do? I started asking them about their kids. I said, got any kids? That's all it took. People always want to talk about their kids, you know, or their grandkids. So then the conversation got started. So that it's a natural thing to want this information. We, you know, just to have something to build on. My old toxic religion days, where I was in unhealthy religion, a lot of times I would ask for information so that I could possibly have something to maybe use against that person, or something that I could use in my mind to be critical of them or to see them as inferior to me. You know, I'm a better Christian than they are. I'm a better person than they are. So sometimes I ask for information so I could see myself on a higher plane. Nowadays, if I feel that happening inside me, I push eject really quick. No, don't go there. Don't go there. I don't know if that's ever been a tendency of yours, but that's like a light that comes on my dashboard that says you're getting dangerously close to somewhere you don't want to go. Don't go there. I'm just telling you who I am. But to really love somebody, you have to go deeper than just information. You know, how many kids have you got? What are their names? How old are they? That's a great starter. But don't we want to go deeper if they want to? If the person wants to go deeper, we want to go deeper in that conversation with them. So I don't know. This sounds kind of foggy, but maybe we can clear it up. I don't know. You can hear the words they say without really knowing what they mean by what they say. Let me use an example. A husband and wife, he's a mechanic, deals in nuts and bolts all day. She is a florist, deals in artistic arrangements of flowers all day. So you got a husband who's a mechanic and you got a wife who's an artist, and they come home and they're sitting there at supper, and somehow they get to talking about something that's meaningful to one of them. Let's say it's meaningful to the woman. And the woman says, somehow this just doesn't fit. It just doesn't fit. What's he thinking? Well, you've got the wrong, you know, you've got the wrong bolt on the wrong nut. There's an easy fix here. You just, if you want to make it fit, then you need to get this bolt and this nut, and they'll fit together. He's got a mechanical solution for what she just said. It doesn't fit. And in her mind, she says, no, this is more like a bouquet that you've got fixed with all these flowers, and all of a sudden you've got this thistle sticking out of the side. It doesn't fit. So when she says it doesn't fit, she's not meaning at all mechanically it doesn't fit. She's saying aesthetically, emotionally, experientially, it doesn't fit. So they use the same phrase, it doesn't fit, but it means something completely different to both of them. If they're going to have true communication, they got to get on the same page with what that term means. So if you're talking to somebody, that's partially why you get the information, is so you kind of figure out, are they a mechanic or a florist? Not that's too simplistic, but you kind of figure out, you know what I'm saying? You kind of figure out where they're coming from, and then you know kind of where to go with the conversation, and you kind of know. And you know what? If I'm confused now when somebody says something to me, I'll just tell them, I'm not sure I know what you mean by that. Not in an accusative way. What did you mean by that? But like, be patient with me. I'm a little slow here. I'm not sure. You know, I think I know what you mean, but I'm not sure I know what you mean. Did you mean this? And they say, no, it's closer to this. Oh, so it's this. No, you're almost there. And you just keep working at that till you find out what they mean. That you're hearing not just what they say, but you're hearing what they really mean. This takes time. And if you got somewhere to go on your mind, it's not going to work. If this is the body language, you know, it's not going to work. And people pick that body language up. You know, toe tapping, fidgeting, yawning, looking out the window. I mean, there's all kinds of body language that speaks louder than any word you could say. And they pick up, oh, they don't really want to talk to me. If you're really going to invest in that person, make sure you got the time and make sure you got the energy and make sure you got the interest, because to have clarity takes time. You cannot rush clarity. It takes time to get that clarity. If I sound like I'm being preachy tonight, I apologize. What I'm doing is saying to myself, Wendell, you need to remember these things. I still have to rehearse these things. Maybe this is all natural to you. Maybe y'all just go through life and you're saying, where is he at? And why is he talking about this stuff? It's because this is where I still am. I have to remind myself of these things. And I have to tell myself, if you're going to be a good listener, this is where you need to start. If that person is going to know you love them, you kind of have to practice these things. My prayer, my trust, my hope is that one day all of this will be instinct with me. That all of this, you know, like playing the guitar tonight. I'm 62. I've been playing since I was in my early teens. So when I sit down and the chord chart says such and such a chord or whatever, I don't have to calculate. In fact, anymore, I don't really have to look at the chord chart. I just play because it's instinct. It's all I've done for years and years and years and years. I want my listening to get like that. But I still have to do the math on it. Okay, Wendell, you're not hearing what they mean. You're hearing their words, but you're not hearing what they mean. Slow down and take the time to know what they mean. So you start out with kind of, how many kids do you have? What are their names? How old are they? What do they like to do? Into sports, into music, into drama, into academics. What are they into? You know, you start out getting this information and everything. You're really trying to listen for not just what they say, but what they mean. You're really trying to be attentive to what they mean. And I'm down at the bottom of my notes now. I'm just letting you know where we are. So you're like, this is really boring tonight. We should get done. I've seen y'all going like this. I've noticed. I got my glasses on tonight. I'm seeing you. Here we are at the end. And this is where we really want to get to. It's not that we want to rush through, but this is where we really want to get to. What does that person really hold dear to their heart? What do they value? And I mean more than just their hobbies. Not just what they like to do for fun, but what are the most important things to that person? Now you're starting to get to the core. How many kids is important? What are their names? That's important. How they feel about those kids. You know? What place in their heart do those kids take? Who do they love and why do they love them? What do they value and why do they value that? Why is that important to them? It's so interesting. Okay, let's just take politics. It's so interesting that you'll find people on both sides of the aisle, ultra right wing, ultra left wing, and they will have certain things that they'll almost take a bullet for. Like, I believe in this. And what we usually do is just throw stuff at each other. How stupid could you be to believe that? Both sides to the other. What's really interesting is to sit down and say, not right off. You have to talk about their kids for a while, you know, and what's their favorite color and what kind of ice cream do you like and that kind of stuff. You kind of work your way to it. But after a while to say, you know, I sense that you really feel strongly about this political issue. I'm not interrogating you and I'm not investigating you. I'm really curious because I think you're kind of cool. I like you. Where are you coming from? Where did you come up with these ideas? And where are you coming from on this? Because tell me your story. Because obviously you've gone through a thought process to get to this conviction or to this feeling that this is something you value. And so when you listen to their story, you may part company still not agreeing politically, but you have such a deep appreciation and love for that person that you see, I see where they're coming from. I respect them and value them, and we will never line up on this political issue. But I respect and I value that person. And you know what? And now they know it. Now they know that they're respected. So what do they value and why do they value it? Who do they love and why do they love them? Where did they come from? You know, how many people in the world have you sat down and really said, tell me your story. Tell me where you came from. Tell me, that's what's so beautiful about Pathway is the fifth step. Which now that we got eight steps, I'm not sure if it's the fourth one. I think it is. But it's where you invite the other person to tell their story to you just one-on-one. Have you all been on the receiving end of that? Anybody here? Is that not one of the most beautiful moments to be able to hear somebody's story, to know that they trust you enough and just to listen to them share their story? It is a sacred time, a sacred, sacred time. And then to have somebody care enough for you to share your story with them, sacred, sacred time. Where would we be as a community, as a culture? Where would we be as a world if we all knew each other's stories? I mean, think about that. Where would we be if we really knew each other's backstory, where we came from? But that's kind of what we're aiming at here. Is it going to take a lot of effort and a lot of time? You betcha. Is it worth it? I think so. Maybe I'm the only one, but I think it's worth it. Because that is how you show love. Catching to totally cold, Lewis. What is that quote? To listen to somebody. Look it up. He's got a good quote. He'll read it to us in a second. Excellent quote. His thumbs aren't fast enough. It's behind curtain number three.
Being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable.
Did you hear that? Being heard and being loved are so, they're almost indistinguishable. Yeah. So, We're living in a world that's waking up to this. I don't know if you knew that, but there is a love revolution happening in our culture. There is a listening revolution happening where people are saying, we're tired of the rat race. We're tired of being a cog in the machine. We're ready to sit down and hear each other's stories. That's why you've got coffee shops. That's why you've got, you know, outdoor venues where people just sit and drink a Coke together and talk so we can listen and share. Well, here's two more things, and then we're going to close tonight. We always remind you, and Wayne's the first one. Wayne Hunter's the first one to come up with this, but it's become part of who we are at Pathway. When you're talking to somebody, One of your goals is to see what is God doing in that person right now. You're literally, you're smelling it, you're listening, you're tasting it. All your senses are full on, what is God doing? Where is God in this person right now? What is he up to? And then when you see that, you participate, if you can. You participate in what God is doing in their life. And we could spend a lifetime learning what that looks like, but the lesson tonight kind of points us that direction. And then something that I've been thinking of lately, this is the last thing we're going to say tonight, something I've been thinking of lately is, I didn't used to believe this way, but I do now. I believe that God is in everybody. I don't care whether they call themselves a Christian or not. I don't care whether they're a Buddhist, a Hindu, an atheist, whatever. Sorry. Call me naive, call me stupid, whatever you want to call me. But I believe God is in every human being. I believe the spark of the divine is in every single human being. And I think the spark of the divine is beautiful. It's never ugly. It's never dark. It's never hateful. It's never bitter. It's never selfish. It's always generous and beautiful and kind and peaceful and loving. The spark of the divine is in every single human being. And it is beautiful. And so not only do I want to see what God's doing in that person, I want to see the beauty of God in that person, and then I want to call it out. Did you know how this part of you is so unbelievably beautiful? Do you know this about yourself? There is such power in that. When you see the beauty of God in somebody and you call it out, straight up, you put it in words and say, I don't know if anybody's ever told you this before. I don't know if you've ever seen it in yourself before, but I see this in you. It is beautiful. It blows my hair back. I'm astounded by the beauty of God that I see in you. And don't bullshit people. Don't make something up. You know, don't just pull it out of the air. But if you have these conversations with people, you are going to see the beauty of God in them somewhere. Guaranteed you're going to see it. And when you do, jump on it like a sparrow on a June bug. Jump on it and say, I see this in you. I celebrate this in you. I think it's the coolest thing I've ever seen. And, I've been trying this. And the looks on people's face and what happens inside them is astounding. It's magical because there's never been anybody that's ever told them that. It's like somebody just told me I'm beautiful. Somebody just told me I'm good. Somebody just told. And if they know you're not lying, that's why, and I'm sorry I use French, not really. You know, that's why I say don't bullshit them. They'll pick that up. They will know you're lying to them. So don't make something up. But when you see it and you really know it's there, you tell them, I see this in you. And it can absolutely revolutionize a life. I'm going to tell on her. She's not here tonight. I don't think she'd mind if I told on her. But the little girl that's been playing keys with us some, Sydney, on Sunday night, the little blonde who's been playing, she started as a student when, I don't know, she was 12, 13 years old. She would come into my music room. She would not look at me. She would not talk to me. She would just, her shoulders were this way, and her whole demeanor was just this way. And I might get an upward glance like this, you know, barely. It took me forever to pull the beauty out of her and to get her to try and express herself musically. I said, I'm not going to teach you music, Sydney. I'm going to help you to discover the music that's already in you. Let's look for the music that's already in you. And so she played drums a little bit. She played, forget what all instruments, but she really gravitated toward the keyboard. So she started playing, and this started happening. Because whenever she gave me anything to go by, I would say, Sydney, that is unbelievable. That is so, you just broke through a wall right there. Look what you just did. Look what you just said musically. Did you think that up yourself? Yeah, I did. Now I'm envious. I wish I'd have thought that up. That was so, so cool. And before we were, and I don't know how long she took lessons, but before we were finished, we would have half-hour sessions where we never played a note. She just said, I don't feel like playing today. Can we just talk? And we'd just sit there and talk for half an hour. And she would pour her heart out about her life's goals and what she wanted to do and who she wanted to be. And asked me to speak into her life, you know. She knew I loved her. She knew I loved her. But it took a long time to get there. It took a long time. But I saw magic. I saw magic happen over and over and over. And that's why I'm not just pulling this out of the air and saying, hey, it's a cool theory. Let's try this. I've seen this happen over and over. That when you listen to somebody and you see what God's doing and you see the beauty of God, call it out. Speak, put it into words and say, I see this in you. And watch the magic that happens. We can't save the whole world, but we sure can love the person in front of us. You know, we can do that, make a huge difference. Well, ready, band, let's do one more song. We're doing a song about beauty, aren't we? We got some offering plates over there. Can we have a couple guys help us take up the offering? The offering that we receive on Sunday night is just stays for Pathway. And so appreciate your generosity. We're going to do a song and then have some more stuff.